Good morning. Welcome to worship today, holiday weekend, last hurrah of the summer. Hope you had a good one. What a beautiful day. Stay safe on the roads, everybody. Only one announcement, and that is in your bulletin. The second announcement tells us about the Jamboree. The Jamboree is Malmo's version of Hee-Ha variety show. And so it's about an hour and a half of laughing and little musical vignettes, and I won't go where I was thinking. Anyway, if you're looking to escape for an hour and a half on the 14th and 15th, 7 o'clock in the evening, we have the Jamboree. The choir is the one who hosts it, and so dancing and singing and lots of fun. We're looking forward. The music's great this year. That's the first announcement. Now, if you look down at the last announcement in your thing, it says that the Jamboree is the last Saturday of October. Well, that's not the Jamboree. That's the bazaar. And I was trying to think, is it the Christmas bazaar? Or holiday bazaar? Holiday bazaar. And the reason it's bazaar is because there's 600 dozen cookies that sell out in about 2 hours. The gals get together and cook lefse for 3 days before, and that sells out in about 2 hours. People are crafting and quilting and inventing and putting together all year. That day there's at least six parking lot attendants because it's nuts out here. It's bizarre. So the bazaar, if you want a real holiday adventure, put that last Saturday in October and come on over and you'll see that's not the the Jamboree. We've got kind of a funny names for our events, don't we? I guess the one that really is good is the beef and corn feed. Yeah, this year the theme was bigger beef, bigger buns. Joyce. Oh, official end of summer. Our last Saturday evening service was last night. Our last day at the veggie stand was yesterday. We had a wonderful summer at the veggie stand. The money that's raised goes to help people who are in trouble in the community. So thanks to everyone who helped out with that, with the veggie stand. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, you are a God of wonder. You are a God of might. And you have called us from the beginning of time to be your children, and your Spirit has stirred us to be here today. We pray that we might awaken to your love and to your good news, that we might respond to it well. So send your Spirit, Lord, to stir our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to invite the choir to lead us in worship this morning.
Sings my song.
Thank you. That was kind of fun. Will the congregation please rise and let's turn and sing our opening hymn. Please turn in your bulletins to page 1, the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you by word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading this morning is from James 1. The letter of James was intended to provide first century Christians with instruction in godly behavior. Here, Christians are encouraged to listen carefully and to act on what they hear, especially by caring for those least able to care for themselves. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Thus ends the first reading. The psalm today is Psalm 15. Please read in the bold, responsibly in the bold print, and where you see the R, say the refrain. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead in the way of sight, and who seek the truth from their hearts.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health, and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Thus ends the reading of the psalm. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 14th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 7th chapter of Mark. Mark's gospel depicts Jesus as challenging traditional ways in which religious people determine what is pure or impure. For Jesus, the observance of religious practices cannot become a substitute for godly words or deeds that spring from a faithful heart. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 812. Let's sing the first and second verse. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change the light bulb? Why, my grandfather donated that light bulb. Have you ever heard that before? Today we're going to talk about tradition. And how tradition can some days lead us in wrong directions. Huh? When I was a young pastor up on the Iron Range, I served two little country churches called Embarrass and Pike. They were in Embarrass and Pike Township. A pastor had taken over the Lutheran church in Ely while I was there. And after a couple of months, he sensed that there was something wrong on Communion Sundays, and he couldn't figure it out. He asked me, how I did communion, how I led the communion service, and so on. We talked about it. I said, call the former pastor and find out. Former pastor listened, talked to him, and listened how he had retired. After 28 years, he'd been doing same service. He said, why don't you talk to one of the elders? One of the someone you trust in the congregation and see what they're thinking. So he talked with them, and the only thing he could figure out was when the former pastor had done communion, every time he'd walk over to the water, the radiator, and touch the radiator and then give communion. And he thought, what's that all about? He says, well, the reason I did that was because we have common cup, and when some of the people take it, there's this static electricity that they get a little buzz. And that's exactly what the problem was, so I called that church the Church of the Holy Radiator. Traditions, we follow traditions, and sometimes we don't know why. So we have this story in the gospel where the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come into Jerusalem, and they see Jesus and his disciples come in from the field, and they don't wash their hands, as was the Jewish tradition. It wasn't a question of hygiene, it was a question of tradition. The Jews had a ritual that they always washed their hands. Not only that, but if they went to the market, they would wash all the food, they would wash the plates and the cups and the kettles and so forth. They'd all wash, always wash before. And so the Jews see the disciples come in and just sit down and said, let's eat. And so the Pharisees and the teacher of the law asked Jesus, well, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? And Jesus is a little bit harsh. And he says, well, Isaiah was right, you hypocrites. He prophesied about you hypocrites. And then he quotes from Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Jesus himself was a practicing Jew, yet he didn't want his disciples to become slaves to Jewish tradition. There's something going on. And I wonder, why didn't he want them to continue to follow, you know, be slaves? So this morning I want to think about a little bit about our traditions and why we do things. Traditions, you know, are powerful forces in our lives. It's not only true in religion, but it's true across society. Wherever, whatever community you go to, there are traditions. Your families have traditions. My family tradition, my brother and I were just talking about that. My mom, when we had five kids and the parents, she would bake all this banana bread. You know, when you get those extra bananas and you don't, usually they didn't last long enough. But whenever my mom made banana bread, she would burn the tops of it, okay? You know how the tops can get kind of crispy, crunchy? And one day I could smell them burning, and we talked about this. I said, remember when I hollered at Mom, Mom, the banana bread's burning, and you hollered back, she's been burning banana bread for 30 years, just let her be. That was the way she made banana bread, you know? I was reading The Week magazine. If you get a chance, pick up The Week magazine. There's a tradition in there that I just laughed and laughed and laughed at. They talked about the transportation systems, especially the railroads. They were saying how the United States is going to have to put in more railroads because of the cost of gas and so forth. But they talked about the railroad tracks are 4 feet, 8.5 inches between middle to middle of the rails. And they traced the history back. The rails are the same here as they are in South America and Southeast Asia and South Africa and the UK. They trace the rails back to the UK when the people were building these hand push carts back in the Middle Ages, or maybe the Industrial Revolution. The carts had to go on the tracks that were already there, and if the cart wasn't 4 feet, 8.5 inches, the axles would break. So they had all the jigs and tools for building these wagons, and they were all built the same way. When they trace the history back, why were they built that way? Well, when England was overrun by the Romans back in Jesus' day, their chariots made those first wheels. And when they studied why chariots were 4 feet, 8.5 inches, they found out that the chariots they didn't want the chariots any wider than the behinds of two big war horses. And so all of our railway system is built because they didn't want the chariots to be bigger than the two war horses. I'll take it a little farther, and they did in this article. They said our little spaceship, our little explorer, Courage up on Mars. In order to get Courage up to Mars, they needed to build these solid rocket boosters, these great big, you know how you see Cape Canaveral? They have these great big boosters that shoot this little thing up into the heavens. They got these great big boosters. Well, they were built in Utah. And in order to get them from Utah to Cape Canaveral to shoot, they had to take them over the rail system. So they built the most efficient, the most fantastic boosters, rocket boosters, and this transportation system to get the boosters over was on the rails. And so little Courage on Mars, basically, they needed to have the boosters, shoot them up, and the boosters were built so that they'd fit on the rails. And so it was still determined, this little Courage was still determined by the width of two horses' rear ends. I mean, that's funny. But that's tradition. That's what's been passed down. Traditions can give us an identity of who we are and to a certain extent set borders on our behaviors. Each of you have certain backgrounds. For instance, I'm Finnish. My Finnish tradition is on Wednesday and Saturday nights we take saunas. Then afterwards, we sit down and have a little coffee and biscuit. You Norwegians, you know, you have that lutefisk on Christmas Eve. The Swedes, they have sardine sandwiches. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, these are our traditions. And we build our lives around traditions. Today it's sports teams. We're Vikings fans. The worst thing about living in Minnesota is when the Green Bay Packer fans sneak across the border. They have their tradition, those cheeseheads, and we have ours. I remember the tradition, the wonderful line Tevye spoke in The Fiddler on the Roof about tradition. The whole stage darkens, and then there's the spotlight that goes on Tevye, and he does this on the one hand, on the other hand, on the one hand. But he talks about traditions, and he looked out at the audience and said, "You may wonder why we practice these traditions. Well, I'll tell you why. I don't know. I don't know why we practice these traditions, but they're traditions." And they wore, all the Jewish people in this little village wore the little scarves. And they all wore prayer shawls, even the men underneath their coats. And it distinguished that they were Jewish. Because of their traditions, everyone knew who they were and what God expected their behavior to be. And he's molded, Tevye is molded by his adherence to tradition, but he's not a rigid man. He has the capacity to compromise. And he does compromise when he deals with his daughter's weddings and marriages until the last daughter comes and wants to marry an atheist. This he can't compromise on, and he loudly declares, "Some things I cannot and will not compromise. I will not allow tradition." And it's tradition that held him tight, huh? In many ways, traditions are good things. It brings families together. It brings people together. They were for the Jews. In fact, the whole Jewish community has experienced so much difficulty throughout history, it's doubtful that they would have even survived if they hadn't had tradition. However, traditions can get out of hand. That's what Jesus is saying. In the eyes of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on this day when we have this lesson, to eat with unclean hands was worse than how one treated one's neighbor. And that can never happen according to Jesus. We need to work on our relationships. We need to care about each other, and we need to work on our relationship with God. When tradition gets in the way, tradition has to take a back seat. Traditions then can serve in some people's lives as a substitute for God. That's the message in this gospel lesson. Tradition may tell us what was appropriate for our ancestors, but they may not be reliable indicators of how you and I should live today. Jesus is continually saying to his disciples, "You've heard it said, but I say unto you." You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, give him the left cheek. You've heard it said, if someone asks for your jacket, give him your shirt as well. That's what I say unto you, Jesus said. Tradition is one guide for our behavior, but it's only one guide. Times change, situations change. Nothing's more important than the living spirit of the Lord that moves and changes in different times and places, and it guides us in our present time too. God's Spirit does. So think about this tradition business. Suppose we only had this tradition in our church, that only people who dressed in suits and ties would be allowed to worship. And that's not so out of hand. I think they did that back in the 40s and 50s. I mean, if God expects us to give our best, why not wear our best to church on Sunday? Sounds like a reasonable tradition. But is it where God would lead us, or is it some rules that we would make? My older brother this summer, he had it in his heart to live like a homeless person. So he lived homeless for a few weeks. Gave himself $7 a day to live on. He said that on Sunday, I think the fourth or fifth day, he was out on the streets. He would go to church. And he said, you know, in that church, they welcomed him. He says he hadn't showered for 4 or 5 days. He looked like a bum. And someone met him at the door and said, I want you to come and have coffee after service. And then when he sat down in church, he talked to the people next. I want you to make sure this guy comes for coffee after the service. And my brother told me a story about that he had read. He said there was a same guy like him who was homeless, came to church and he smelled a little and people didn't want him, didn't really want to welcome him too much. And so when the usher sat him down, he sat him in the back with the doors open and the winds wafting through, so he was a little fresh. You smile at that smoke. You know what that's all about. And afterwards, no one wanted to talk to him, so he wandered out. The next week, he went out and bought himself a brand new suit, new shoes, cleaned up. And they welcomed him. He was so well-dressed that everybody wanted to be around him. And the ushers came and sat him in the best seat in the congregation where you're sitting right now, Joyce. Yeah. And then, not only that, but after church, they took him and had coffee with him. And then the pastor and his wife invite him over for Sunday chicken dinner. And when he sat down at dinner, when the chicken came around, he took one of those drumsticks and he stuck it inside in his shirt pocket. When the potatoes came around, he put it down in his vest pocket. When the gravy came around, he poured it into his pants pocket. And finally, they couldn't stand it anymore. They said, what are you doing? He says, it's obvious to me you invited my suit, not me. That's a ridiculous story, but it's our tendency to elevate traditions. People have to be dressed right. They have to be looked right to be welcomed in the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom of God, everybody is somebody. Everybody has worth. Nobody should be on the outside looking in. And that's Jesus trying to teach his disciples this day. And trying to teach those Jews and those scribes, those writers of the law, that tradition some days can push people out the door. So as we look at our lives, some of us, we want to hold on to tradition. And maybe our kids or our grandkids have a different way of looking at things. Or we expect them to follow tradition, and when they don't, they get shunned or pushed out. Let me tell you the lesson Jesus wants us to have. People and relationships are more important than tradition. That's the story. In your churches, in our church, we do a pretty good job here of welcoming everybody. And we've got so many people coming in and moving out all the time that we're not stuck. I don't think we're stuck in too many traditions. But this is a wake-up call and a reminder to us that our traditions, you know what the seven worst words in the church are? We've always done it that way before. So don't get stuck. In your families, same thing. God might be trying to teach us and lead us in a new direction and in a new way. The things that happened to the Jews can happen to us. Certainly happened, I'm sure, in our lives in the past. But God is a God of change. We should be open to His living, moving spirit. Let's open our hearts to the living God today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Today we're going to send around the blessing boxes on the first Sunday of the month. If you've been blessed, if God has taken care of you this summer, if you want to say thank you, that's what those blessing boxes are for, a little over and above thank you. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God, our truth, by your word you created us to continue your mission. Bless all who hear the word, that we will be doers also. Lord, in your mercy. God, our treasure, you have given us great wealth and generous resources. Help us use these sensibly, that all creatures may live. Lord, in your mercy. God, our justice, you dignify our labor by sharing our toil. Grant workers fair employment, adequate income, and safe conditions. Bring an end to the exploitation of children, women, and those most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy. God, our compassion, you call us to care for all in need. Hear our prayers for the unemployed, orphans, widows, and all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Artie Kendall, Mel Hammond, Gary Miller, Bob Vorlachek, those others who we name in our heart who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. God, our life, you gather us together in your name to send us forth to be your hands and feet in the world. Make us generous in our giving and service to others. Lord, in your mercy. We ask your blessing this day to be with Dean Newman as he mourns the loss of his brother. Comfort him and his family in their mourning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful summer that we've experienced. We live in a place where people come to vacation. Help us never to take it for granted. Protect those who travel. Keep them safe and in your loving care. And watch over our loved ones this day wherever they find themselves. Send your holy angels to keep them safe. God, our hope, we give you thanks for those who have made your word known and now rest in their labors. Give us strength to follow your commandments until we abide with you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. And so we gather at the table of our Lord where all are welcome. We are reminded that this was Jesus' Independence Day, celebration of Freedom Day. This was also his last meal. He knew he needed to give his followers a sign and a symbol. And so he took bread at that Last Supper, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. This morning we'll do communion by intinction, so I'll hand you the bread, and please dip it in the wine or the grape juice that are in the bowl. We'll begin with this side. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Please rise. the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His precious blood, strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on page 6. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Our closing hymn is 824. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Forget, for go thou.